Well, it is good to be back home in the U.S., but very thankful for the experience in the Philippines the last couple of weeks. Still takes a little while to get adjusted to the time change, which actually why we were there, it even got further because you experienced daylight savings time. When I left you, I was 57 years old. I came back 58 years old. So it feels like I've been gone longer than I really have. But the Lord blessed. The last night of our meetings in Manila in the Philippines, we had over 10,000 people in the auditorium. And I just got to tell you, as an evangelist, it's fun to preach to 10,000 people live. And 596 baptisms is what the general conference, or the conference president there, reported to us. And so we just praise the Lord. They've already invited us back again. I didn't give any guarantees, but 2017, they'd like us to come back and do another series. And the evangelism training program, we don't call it AFCO there, we call it PAFCO, because it's the Philippines. Amazing Facts Evangelism Program, doing very well and going to carry on. Our leader there, Pastor Lowell Hargraves, is now going to Africa to start a program there. We've been wanting to have an evangelism training program on the African continent for years, and so that's in the works, and just invite you to pray for that program. Our message today, title may sound like an oxymoron, instant patience. And I remember when I first learned what an oxymoron is, it's two words put together that really contradict each other, like jumbo shrimp. Or when you say to somebody, pretty ugly, or military intelligence. There's a lot of different oxy. I've got a whole list of them, like little sin, an oxymoron, or woman driver. There's all kinds of them that you have out there that just contradict you. This is the only church I can get away with that. I can't say that anywhere else. You know I'm kidding, right? Okay, just. But that's what instant patience is. It doesn't make sense. And as I talk to you about patience, and the reason I'm talking to you is because it is a big theme in the Bible, as you just heard from our scripture reading. This is one of those occasions where I'm really inviting you to eavesdrop as I talk to myself, because I'm exhibit A of a person that needs to hear this message. So I always feel a little hypocritical when I stand up and preach to other people about patience, because this is a disclosure right at the beginning of the message that I really need to hear this myself, and so we'll listen together. But it's in the Bible, and it's a subject I think that we all need to deal with, especially now in our day and age. Matter of fact, I just was looking online, Pre-Research Center, they do a number of surveys. Their Internet and American Life Project sums up a recent study about people under the age of 35 and the dangers of their hyper-connected lives with our modern devices. What sounds like a prescription drug warning, negative effects from our hyper-connected lives with the Internet and our smartphones and iPads. The negative effects include a need for instant gratification and a loss of patience. Warning, the age that you're living in now is preparing you for the need of instant gratification and a loss of patience. And I think we all know that we're living in the age of microwave foods, fast foods. Everything has to happen right now. And there's great competition in the business world to try to get the customer what they want instantly, as quick as they possibly can. It's always got to be faster. And if someone else can do it faster, you buy from them. I understand that Walmart and eBay are now competing with Amazon to give people same-day online purchases. So the day you buy something online, it is delivered. If you buy it in the morning, you can get it in the afternoon. All reminds me of a T-shirt I saw a teenager wearing one time. And the front of it said, "I'm not a brat." And then she walked by, and the back of it said, "I just know what I want, and I want it when I want it." And that sort of is the attitude of the world that we're living in today. We are not learning to be more patient. We're in a culture that is less and less patient. And it's that way driving. I don't know. Am I the only one that becomes a little bit restless if you miss a light? You know, it turns, you're approaching a green light, but before you can zing through it, it turns yellow and you think, I'm not going to make it. You might try, but then they're going to, you know, tell a children's story about you if you don't make it. Or you have, they take a picture of you at the intersection and then you get a ticket. I'm one of these people, maybe you can relate, that when I'm driving, I figure if you're going to get in a car that's been designed to go 100 miles an hour, then you want to get there at least as quick as you legally can. And I'll pull up to a stop when I'm driving through town. If there's other cars ahead of me and I've got a couple lanes going my direction, I will actually evaluate the cars ahead of me based on which one do I think will be the fastest off the line when the light changes. And you look at what kind of car they're driving. I've learned, do not pull up behind a Prius. Because they are, even though it's a modern car, they're driving that car because they want to save gas, and so they don't accelerate very quickly. I used to think you don't want to pull up behind an old driver, but that isn't always true. You know, old drivers get teased a lot. They say, oh, you know, I got stuck behind some grandma driving, you know, 25 miles an hour, and which never made any sense to me because it seems like the young always get in trouble speeding. And when you're young, you've got the most time. And when you're older, you've got the least amount of time. You would think the older you get, the quicker you drive, right? But it doesn't always prove that way. But I mean, I actually am in such a hurry that I'm evaluating people as I drive and looking at car models and trying to just wind speed and all kinds of things about where could I go to get there faster? What road could I take? And heaven forbid if I get stuck in traffic, or if I take the wrong road. But I'm learning. I'm learning that sometimes you just got to say, all right, you just can't control it. And be patient. God's on the throne. But I'm not the only one. It's our whole culture. Years ago, you know, if you missed the stagecoach, you'd say, oh, well, there'll be another one in 3 weeks. Right? And today, if you miss one of the slots in a revolving door and you have to wait for it to go around again, you become, oh, restless. Everything is about instant satisfaction and instant gratification. And the Lord says, be patient. And then he talks about farming. You ever watch plants grow? It doesn't happen overnight. It takes patience. He tells us to have the patience like a farmer. And you you see these patterns of how important it is to learn patience through the Bible. Now, maybe I should spend a moment defining patience. Patience is a quality of bearing provocation, annoyance, or misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. That's one definition. Patience, an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Patience, quiet, steady perseverance, even tempered care. It means slow to get mad. In other words, it's the opposite of a short fuse. Patience. Now, who is the father of the faithful? Father Abraham. You know, Abraham had to learn patience. And it took him over 100 years. We don't have that long. They just lived longer back then. God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of a multitude. His name actually was Abram, which simply meant father. And then his name was changed to Abraham, father of a multitude. And I always thought it was odd. He got the name father of a multitude before he had any children. That could be why God says in Romans, God calls those things as not that are not as though they are. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so Abraham is told, you're going to be the father of a multitude. He leaves Mesopotamia. He's 75 years old, and he's probably thinking, all right, Lord, this multitude needs to come pretty quick because I'm 75, and Sarah's in her 60s, and several years go by, no child. And finally, they said, look, Lord, maybe we should help you out. And Sarah comes up with the idea that you can have my maid as a surrogate, Hagar, and have a child through her. Now, was that a good move or a bad move? What led to that move? Got tired of waiting. Thought, I'll help God out. Tried to push it along. And it ended up becoming a disaster. It was a disaster in their family. It was a disaster for the nation. It's the offspring of those two children are still fighting in the world today. Do you know your genealogy and history? You've got the Arabs and the Jews in the news almost weekly. Problems there. Children of Hagar and the children of Isaac, or children of Ishmael and the children of Isaac, lost patience. Moses. Bible tells us that he went up the mountain, and when he was delayed coming down the mountain, it says the people, and you can read about this in Exodus 31, when the people saw that Moses was delayed, he said, I'm going, I'm going to speak to the Lord, he's going to give me the law, I'll be back, but he didn't say when. And while they were waiting, they're thinking, this is just taking way too long, who knows what happened to him, he was getting old, it looks dangerous up on that mountain with the thunder and the smoke. We probably ought to take another course. They were being tested during this time of delay if they would be faithful. Could that happen again near the end of time? Could that be why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, and if that evil servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming and begins to eat and drink with the drunken and smite his fellow servants, the Lord of that servant will come in a day that he's not looking for him in an hour he's not aware of. Why would Jesus say that? And then you go to Matthew 25, it says in the parable of the 10 virgins, while the bridegroom was delayed. Now why would, who does the bridegroom represent? Jesus. As Moses was delayed, they made a golden calf. They compromised with the nations around them. Could the church do that again? It says, if that evil servant says, my Lord delays his coming. Is it because God is late? Is God ever late? Or can God appear to be late? Or maybe God waits to test. Was God late with Abraham or was he testing him? You know what grows during delay is patience and faith. And one of the ways you develop patience and faith is by experiencing the irritations and delays of life. There are people that can teach you patience. I read a statement in the Spirit of Prophecy last night. If you're thinking of having children, make sure that you have patience first. And if you don't, you will eventually, hopefully. But it said that the bridegroom was delayed. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. A time of testing. That happens. How did Esau lose the birthright? You remember he came back from hunting, and he was hungry, and Esau wanted fast food. And Jacob had some ready. Now, Esau didn't live far away. He could have gone home and cooked his own food. He could have gone to his mom, who wasn't far away, and she would have cooked him a meal. But he wanted it. I want it when I want it. He wanted instant gratification. And Jacob knew his brother was impulsive and impatient. And he said, tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll sell you these beans. You promised to sell me the birthright. And he said, I'm dying from hunger. You ever heard that before? When lunch is late? I'm starving. And he said, what good is my birthright? I'm about to die from hunger. And so because of his need for instant gratification, his loss of patience, the Bible says he despised his birthright and he sold it. Could we be tested in the same way? Will we be tested on maybe appetite before the Lord comes? Self-control over physical things. And because we want instant gratification, we lose our birthright, we lose our internal inheritance because we want it when we want it and we cannot wait. Patience. It's an important message for young people when they're thinking about family and marriage. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Moses You know why he didn't enter the promised land? After 40 years of leading the children of Israel, he became impatient, lost his temper there, smote the rock twice when he was supposed to speak to the rock. And God said, "Oh, Moses, you know, you were so close, but I can't let you in now." Why did King Saul lose the kingdom? You can read in 1 Samuel 10, Samuel the prophet told King Saul, "You'll go down before me to Gilgal." They were going to battle against the Philistines. "Surely I will come to you," just like Jesus said, "I will come to offer burnt offerings. I will make sacrifice before you go to war. 7 days you shall wait, till I come to you to make offerings and intercede before you go to battle against..." They were about to have this great, decisive battle to shake off the bondage of the Philistines. And God said to Saul, "Wait." Well, it says he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel didn't come. There was a delay. And during this time of apparent delay, Saul said, "Look, how long are we going to wait? I'm a man of action. We got to go into battle and we need to offer sacrifice. I'll do it," which the king was not supposed to do. Only the priest was supposed to do that. And it says, as soon as he got done commandeering the office of the priest and offering sacrifice, Samuel came. As soon as I got done making the golden calf, Moses came. And at midnight, the friend of the bridegroom said, "Behold, the bridegroom comes," when all those virgins were sound asleep. It seems like if you could just wait a little longer, you'd be victorious. And because King Saul lost patience and he wanted to do it his way, Samuel said, "You're going to lose the kingdom." And because Abraham lost patience and wanted to do it the world's way, it brought all kinds of strife into their family. And I wonder how many times we've lost happiness because we lose patience. Now, I think that God inspires people to be people of action and people of activity and people of industry, and that's good. But you also need to know how to wait on the Lord when he's telling you to wait. And wait for what he's telling you to wait for. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 2:3, "And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." God describing what we need in the last days, he describes a people that need patience. But you know, you're not born patient. Some of the most impatient people in the world are children and babies. If a baby wakes up in the night and they're hungry or they've got a plumbing problem or they're lonely or whatever it happens to be and they're crying and you can't really reason with them and say, "Could you just give me a minute? Let me rest. Can you wait?" They don't care. Any of you ever gone on a long trip with your kids? And as soon as you pull out of the driveway, what do they say? "Are we there yet?" No, it's not so bad now. I mean, when I was a kid, for one thing, I don't know how we survived not wearing seatbelts. I slept up on that back par panel there where the windshield is, the back windshield. And we'd go on long trips and I'd have to entertain myself by sticking my hand out the window and trying to make an airfoil out of it or fight with my brother. I mean, now as soon as they pull out, kids pop in their earbuds and turn on their iPads and they're in another world. And they still say, "Are we there yet?" Which means that you're not born patient. It's something that we need to learn. And that's why the Lord is appealing to us in his word. You've got to learn to be patient. Do you ever evaluate the lines in a supermarket? You know, I was just at Home Depot yesterday and everybody's standing in line. Matter of fact, I thought I found a short line. I ran up and then I realized that actually the line went all the way up the aisle. They had just created a space for the carts to go through and I was cutting in front of everybody. I went by and said, "Oh, this is great." And then you hear people go, and you look and you think, "Oh man, it's going halfway up the aisle." And so then you look at all the other lines and you look at what people have in their carts or in their bags. You ever do that? If you ever want to know what line to go through at a market, go with me and don't get in my line. Because I have, and I think it's just the Lord, we have this ongoing joke between God and me where whatever I pick, whatever line I pick is going to inevitably be the slowest line. And I'll get somebody, they got two things in their shopping cart, and I'll think, hey, this is great. And I'll get up there, and sure enough, price check, aisle number six, can I get someone to do a price check? And then I'll look, it's almost like stop motion. You look at the lines next to you, and you see them just all going through. And the guy that was at the back of the line, he goes and he smirks at me, you know, as he goes through. Anyone else ever? Yeah. We're not born patient. We've got to learn it. Do you know why there's so much credit card debt in our country, more than there ever has been? It's not because of the recession. It's because people want to own things before they've earned the money to pay for them. In most cases, we buy things that we don't have enough money for because we want it now. And I'm not saying there's never a need to buy anything on credit or mortgage a house or whatever it is, but fact is that a lot of the debt in our culture is not because of urgency, it's because of impatience. Somehow we are living with the idea that as soon as you graduate from college, you're supposed to have a house and have a job and have everything, your car, and you're supposed to have everything all at once. Bill Gothard said, patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. We also need more patience with each other, biblically. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. How patient is God with us? When you're thinking about being patient, how patient is God with us? The Lord is gracious. You can read Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed by when he revealed his character to Moses, and it declares, the Lord said to him, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. What does that mean? Abounding in goodness and truth. God bears with us so long. Should we not bear with each other? There's this parable, Jewish parable, that Abraham was sitting in the cool of his tent one day and he saw this wayfaring stranger going by and he rushed out to greet him and said, come, stop, take a piece of bread, wash your feet. And the man was thankful to stop and he drank some water and they were cooking him some food and Abraham said, let's ask God to bless our food. And the man didn't pray to Jehovah. And Abraham said, don't you worship Jehovah? He said, no, I worship fire. I have my whole life. Said, what? You're a pagan? You worship fire? And Abraham chased him away with blows. And then God said to Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. He said, yes, Lord. He said, where is that man I sent you? He said, Lord, he didn't worship you, so I sent him away with blows. And he said, I've been bearing with that man for 50 years. You couldn't bear with him for one day? And so we've got to learn to be patient with each other. You know, you need to pray for me. Forgive me, I'm doing better. You got to be patient when you're talking to people. I become restless talking to people. I want to finish their sentences. Because I figure, you know, let's move on with the conversation. I know what you're going to say. I'll say it for you. Watch. Now let me respond. Sometimes a person's telling me a story, and before they finish their story, he said, I can top that story. Want to hear my story? And I jump in, and I'm almost exaggerating. But you've got to learn to be patient and listen to people because when you give people your time, you're giving them a piece of your life. It's a sign of honor and respect. And when you're impatient with people, when they're talking, you're basically saying, what you have to say is not very important. And that means you're not very important. And it's taken me a long time to learn that be patient. And heard about a young man at a Christian college, and he went into chapel, which was required, and he sat down, and as the speaker got up to speak, he groaned and rolled his eyes, and this middle-aged woman sitting next to him said, what's the problem? And he said, I've got that man, he teaches me a theology class, and he is the most boring man in the world. He goes on and on and never says anything. And she said, do you know who I am? He said, no. She said, I'm his wife. And he got real quiet and he said, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, "Hallelujah." And he got up and he walked out. You need to be patient with people. Acts 15. Do you know in the Bible it tells us that Paul became impatient with Mark? Mark lost courage when they were out on one of their evangelistic endeavors. Paul, Barnabas, Mark, John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark in the Bible. And he abandoned them while they were in Asia. He said, "This is too much persecution, just the life on the road," whatever it was. He got discouraged, he left. And so after Paul and Barnabas finished the trip, they came back, they reported, they took some R&R, and they said, "Let's go out, let's do another evangelistic trip." And Barnabas said, "Let's bring Mark with us. He's sorry, he left us." And Paul said, "Not on your life." Said, "He quit, that was it, you know. Mission works hard. He's proven he's not faithful." Barnabas said, "Give him another chance. Let's be patient with him." "Nope, not going to do it." And there was a great strife between Barnabas and Paul. And they ended up with two mission groups. Paul took Silas, Barnabas took Mark, and you know, God worked it all out. Years later, Paul said, "I was wrong." He said, "Send Mark, he's profitable to me for the ministry." He just needed another chance. And sometimes we become impatient with people, and God is developing them, and it takes time. You need that if you're a parent with your children. Sometimes you've got to teach them something several times before they get it. How many of you have had the Lord have to forgive you for the same mistake more than once? Aren't you glad? And then hopefully you learned it. Maybe not everything yet, but it took a while. It's like I've often said, I quit smoking several times before I quit smoking. Patience comes through trials. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distress." There was a young Christian went to an older Christian and he said, "Would you please pray that God would give me patience?" And the older minister said, "Absolutely, let's kneel together and we'll pray right now." And they knelt and prayed, and the old gentleman said, "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning, send this young man tribulation in the afternoon, send him tribulation in the evening." And the young Christian blurted out, jumped up from his knees, said, no, I said, "Pray for patience." And the old man said, "I am praying that God will give you patience. This is how it comes." So when you pray for patience, what are you really praying for? If you're asking for bigger muscles, you're praying for weight to lift. And if you're praying for patience, you're praying for delay to teach you patience. Because you don't learn patience by getting everything that you want instantly. Isn't that right? So when you pray for patience, do you really know what you're asking for? You're not going to pray for patience now, are you? How many of you want love? Don't you want to love more? When you pray to love people, do you know what you're praying for? You're praying that you'll be surrounded with everybody that's lovable. No. When you pray for love, you're praying to have your love muscles challenged by being surrounded by people that are sometimes ornery, that are unlovable. That's when you learn love. And it's the same principle with patience. James 1:3. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Where does patience come from? The trying of your faith. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In other words, if you don't learn the lessons of patience that God is trying to teach you when trials come into your life, then you're going to keep having that same lesson. Have you ever prayed, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to learn by this, help me learn it now so I don't have to take this test again," or something to that effect? So you have to let patience have its perfect work. When you're going through the trials, coming back from the Philippines, I was ready to come home. You know, I'm getting to the point where 2 weeks is long enough when I'm away from the family and everybody. And so got to Tokyo, got off the plane. First thing they tell us as we get to the gate is your flight to America is canceled. Not late, it is canceled. I have no hotel plans or anything. As soon as I hear that, you know, I've got a plane full of people that want to get on the flight, and there's nothing. And so there's all of a sudden a big stir in the airport. Everybody's looking for planes and hotels. And that's happened to me several times. So, but I've learned from being in that situation so many times, you just have to throw up your hands and say, all right, Lord, I don't know what you have planned. I don't know how this is going to work out, but you're in charge. It is what it is. I hope I can just have the right attitude. Maybe you want me to meet somebody and witness to them. Maybe you're just trying to teach me something. Whatever it is, I've just learned you can be, when you're, you know, on an airplane strapped in and you're parked out on the tarmac and they come over the loudspeaker and say, there's going to be a delay because there's some weather coming through. There's lightning storms. We can't take off. We can't go back to the gate. We'll update you as soon as we know something. What do you do? Any of you ever been in that situation? You can't get off the plane. You can't hope you're going to land. You can't even hope you're going to crash. You're stuck on the ground. And all you got to do is just say, Lord, I can't control the weather. Just whenever. And so you have to just, and it's not just with airplanes, but a lot of situations in our lives that we experience, God is allowing us to go through to help us develop Christ-like characters, to become like Jesus, who did not become irritable and was patient in all things. So, by the way, I went to the counter in Tokyo, expected them to point me to a hotel, and they said, oh no, we got good news for you. The United flight is canceled, but there's actually a Japan Airlines flight that goes back sooner, and it's a better seat and a better airline. I said, praise the Lord. And it was. God worked it all out. And I thought, Lord, do I dare think that maybe you bless like this because I just gave it up to you? And I don't want to say that because he might prove me wrong later, but Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Philip Brooks, the one who wrote the song Little Town of Bethlehem, he was typically a very patient man. Someone came in his study one day, and he was pacing back and forth like a caged lion. Someone said, what's the problem, Pastor Brooks? He said, I'm in a hurry, and God is not. And that's how Abraham was. We may even need more patience with ourselves. Luke 21:19, by your patience possess ye your souls. Philippians 1:16, being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's writing a book. That's why he says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. And I know this might seem borderline disrespectful, but you need patience with God. Because a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. And sometimes we think that because our lives are short, that God's not moving fast enough. But remember, he's God. Galatians 5:22. I'm sorry, I was going to give you a different verse. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, one reason I think the Lord gives us the Sabbath is because he has to make a stop and rest. Because we are mortal, we're in a hurry. And he has to remind us, look, I'm offering you all of eternity. Do you believe that? Then you can give me one day a week, and I can give you eternity. Just pause, rest, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know that verse in Isaiah 40:30? Even the youth will be faint and weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like an eagle. You know, you can wait more quickly when you're patient. Things actually go by more quickly when you're patient. I heard about a man that he was driving in some busy gridlock traffic, and his car stalled. And when the light changed, people that were lined up behind him all just began to honk their horn, not realizing he was doing the best he could to try to get his cart to start again, and it wouldn't start. And the guy just behind him was just laying on his horn and honking, and he got out of his car and he walked back, and he said to the man, he said, look, he says, I'm having trouble starting my car. If you go up there and try and start it, I can stay here and honk your horn for you. Sometimes we're impatient with people. We don't realize they're doing the best they can. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Now some will say long-suffering, but long-suffering is patience. You need patience to suffer long. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You notice that patience is stationed right between faith and love and joy. That's keeping pretty good company. It's a very important Christian attribute that we all need. You can read, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, love is patient, love is kind. You know, they just finished a building in China. Someone sent this to me. They built a 30-story building in China, completed it in 15 days. They broke the record. Can you imagine it? They developed this, you know, they're having problems with construction dust and pollution in China, so they're finding new methods of construction, and they built these prefab floors where they've got the air conditioning, the windows, and everything's just all built in, and they bring them on these trucks to the place, and with cranes like Lego blocks, you can actually see a fast, you know, a high-speed 15-day video in a few seconds of this thing going up, and it's just amazing how fast-paced our world is becoming. 30-story building in 15 days. And we've only been working 10 years on trying to get two-story church. So we're going to move to China. Might not be bad. Patience. We need to wait patiently for the Lord's return. This was part of our scripture reading. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Why am I sharing this message today? It's more true today than it was when James wrote it, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so what is he counseling us to do? Be patient. Why? Because you can look through the chronicle of Bible history and find that some of the Bible characters lost their opportunity of God's kingdom because they lost patience. The children of Israel lost patience on the borders of the Promised Land. You can see that Abraham lost patience. Saul lost patience. David actually is a good example of patience. God anointed him king, and he waited. And he actually had an opportunity to kill Saul and take the throne instantly. And you know what he said to Abishai, his soldier, that was trying to, he said, look, he's in your hands, kill him, you'll be king. He said, no, it's not God's timing. He said, I'm going to let the Lord do it. In his time, he said, he'll grow old, die of old age. David was willing to wait until Saul died of old age. He said, or he'll fall in battle or something else will happen. He said, my hand won't be on him. I'm going to wait on the Lord to be king. That's remarkable self-control. And that's one of the ways it says that David was a man after God's own heart. But so many others, they became impatient. Like Samson, when he picked his wife. She pleaseth me well, get her for me now. And his parents said, can't you wait and find an Israeli girl? You got to marry a Philistine. Didn't end well, did it, for Samson? So God is wanting us to learn to wait because the Lord's coming. Habakkuk 2, speaking of prophecies about the second coming, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he might run who reads it. For the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. Notice, and not lie, though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Jesus said, speaking of the last days, occupy till I come. Stay busy doing his work until he comes. Is he going to come? Will there be the appearance of a delay before Jesus comes? You know, it seems that the Bible is trying to warn us. At the end of Matthew, you know it's in Matthew 24? All the signs of the second coming. What does he say at the end of that? If that evil servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. And what's the next parable? While the bridegroom was tarried, while the bridegroom tarried, the virgins went to sleep. I think the Lord is trying to tell us there will be the appearance of a delay as we near the end of time, and this is when God's people especially need patience. Why do you think Jesus said, he that endures to the end? Endurance is something you need when there's delay or when there's tribulation and when you need patience. The long suffering. Here is the patience of the saints. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. We often talk about God's people as a people that we keep the commandments, we have faith in Jesus. But what's the first part? Here is the patience of the saints. There's a consistency in that. And sometimes you need patience when you're praying for your prayers to be answered. Have you prayed for somebody for a long time? I read about George Mueller praying for the salvation of a friend. He prayed 50 years for one person, and God answered his prayer. Some of you maybe have been praying for your children on a daily basis for years. And I know you're not going to give up because you love them. But sometimes we give up praying for other things that we know are God's will. We need to ask the Lord to help us to have that endurance. Joseph, God told him, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a leader. Your siblings will come and bow down before you. Yeah, I've got a great plan for your life. And years went by where he was a slave and a prisoner. But it never says that Joseph lost patience or got discouraged. And God fulfilled what he promised. He could give it to Joseph because he had learned to wait on the Lord. James 5:11, we count them happy that endure. How many of you want to be happy? You got to endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. Yes, Job went through his trials. He bore them patiently. We talked about that in Sabbath school today. He bore his trials patiently, and at the end, God reversed his trials, and he blessed the latter end of Job twice as much as the beginning, because Job would not get discouraged. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So friends, don't be discouraged. God will grant him patience if we ask. How do we get patience? We pray for an attitude where we embrace the delays and the trials that come. We surrender to the Lord with things, circumstances, or even people that might be making us irritable. And we have a mind where we are willing to learn patience. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. Why does Paul refer to God as a God of patience? It's not normally how we think of him. That he grants you to be like-minded towards one another, that we have the spirit and the mind of Jesus and patience. Want to hear an amazing fact about Jell-O? You know, Jell-O's over 100 years old. Jell-O was invented by a man who was sort of a part-time construction worker and dabbled in medicines, and he went door-to-door selling homemade remedies. In the middle of his tinkering, his wife gave him the idea, what would happen if you add sweetened fruit flavoring to gelatin? And he tried it. It was pretty good. And he started going door-to-door trying to sell his recipe, and he had a few buyers, but he became impatient. The guy's name, by the way, interestingly enough, his name was Pearl Waite. Pearl Waite. Well, he didn't think the business was taking off, so after just a couple of months of trying to sell his invention that his wife named Jell-O, he went to a man by the name of Frank Woodward, who said, hey, this is a pretty good invention. He gave him $450 for the complete patent of Jell-O. And Order Frank Woodward was a good salesman, and within 8 years he had made $1 million. And Jell-O is still selling today, over 115 years later. Because Pearl Waite couldn't wait. I'll close with a poem. There once was an oyster whose story I tell, who found that some sand had slipped under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him such pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're still plain. Now did he berate the working of fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? No, he said to himself as he lay on his shelf, if I can't remove it, I'll try to improve it. So the years rolled on by, as years always do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, stew. But this small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, was a beautiful pearl all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What we couldn't do if we'd only begin to enrich all the things that get under our skin. And learn patience. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, I just, again, invited you to listen to me talk to myself. I'm praying that I can have one of the characteristics that a Christian should be known for, which is to be patient. But especially that we don't lose faith, that we endure knowing that God will keep his word, that he's going to come. Sometimes we're waiting for the Lord to do what he's promised he would do, like Abraham. And we've just got to plod on, occupy, continue to be faithful, do what lies closest to hand, and trust that God is going to fulfill his word. I pray that I can cooperate with God's agencies to have this Christian characteristic. How about you? I thought it'd be good we could sing that song, Until Then, as we close, and just pray that God will give us that gift of patience. Shall we stand?